Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I want you to know that there seems to be a spigot of distractions that is wide open on not just America, but the entire world. It seems like journalism and the mainstream media is just bombarding us with all sorts of, I'll just call them distractions, trying to get you to become emotional and trying to get you to act, trying to get people to surrender liberties. And I'll tell you, President Trump has deliberately joined this whole barrage, and he's actually joined in on this whole process or this deluge of constant input and overwhelming, what do you want to call that, saturation of distractions. Since his first presidency, he's been at this and joining this. And I know a lot of people that, not that these people don't support Trump, but these people that just, you know, look at this as a brilliant or the genius of Trump is the way that he keeps the news media engaged in what he wants them to keep engaged in. But I don't know if that necessarily plays out, because if you look at what he puts out and how the mainstream media seems to be able to maintain their narrative, and he may keep them on some topics for the narrative, but if there's other things that are going on, they're going to, let's just say they're going to all parrot the exact same stuff. And I tell you, I believe Fox News is starting to align with that. I mean, there are the personalities over there that are, you know, Trump-trained cheerleaders and so forth. And that's okay. I mean, you see that, and that's very easy. I mean, if you can't recognize that Hannity is infatuated beyond the norm, then I mean, you're dreaming, because it's not like if Hannity has ever been what I would say objective regarding the office of the presidency. It's our guy. It's, you know, he's doing what he should be doing or what he needs to do, instead of, well, is he doing what the Constitution mandates him to do? No. And as a matter of fact, nobody wants to talk about that. And so that's why you were listening to the only show that actually goes down the path of academic and evidence-based solutions. These aren't just ideas. These aren't. Republic Review is just not some whim. It's not some notion. This is academically supported as well as evidence-based. I mean, Jefferson and Madison attempted this in 1798, and Jefferson wrote about this in 1783-84 in the Notes on the State of Virginia. What we're talking about with Republic Review is irrefutable. I've been on the air, and I've been working with, and even when I get attacked, or what do you want to call it? Maybe it's not an attack. Maybe it is a poorly executed character assassination or an attempt to obfuscate what the real facts are or what I'm really talking about by the John Birch Society when I go out places. And so what they're not doing is they're not refuting the process. They're not refuting Republic Review. They're providing an old mundane argument regarding my failings in vernacular, my failings in insensitivity towards the words that they have chosen to be the guardians of political correctness. And so bottom line, as far as I see it, what I am putting out, there is yet to be supposedly any champion of the Constitution able to come back and say, no, you can't do that. You don't, the states don't have that authority. There is nowhere where anybody can refute the concept of republic review. So today we're going to get into Madison's property. We're going to read it, but I'm going to kind of editorialize as we go so that as we read these things, we can kind of start putting them into context as to what is property. And remember, I said this before, he coined this concept of we have rights in our property and property in our rights. But we need to start looking at property in a different perspective as well. But you also have to remember that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. Now, our listen number is 605-562-4209. So if you can't stream this entire show, or if you are on the airwaves and you can't listen to this entire show, then dial the 605-562-4209 number and you'll be able to get all of the facts and the juicy tidbits that we're going to provide you today. But again, it seems like there's just this spigot of distractions. And if you think it's going to get any lighter, any better between now and the 2020 election, it is information overload and it is lunacy on the wings. And so what we want to do is, since I haven't done this in a while, we do want to get into some obligatories or at least get into the coverage of our sponsors. If you want to support this show, if you like drinking coffee and you want a good quality coffee, then you should be drinking Red State Coffee while you listen to this show. If you want to drink anything else, by all means, go ahead and drink whatever you want to drink. None of those drinks are sponsoring this show, but I do appreciate the fact that this is a very patriotic organization. They're trying to raise money for what they do. They also raise money for the Gold Star families. That's what it is. A Gold Star family is a family that has lost a soldier, a Marine, a sailor, any service member in conflict. They actually try to put together a holiday meal or what have you. And in addition to doing that, they've actually broadened their depth or breadth of what they're supporting by bringing us in and supporting Republic Review and Reclaiming the Republic. So it's a big honor for us to be able to be a part of that sponsorship. And so I just ask, have you bought your coffee yet? If you have, then why don't you give us a call, 425-270-5416, and let us know what you think, because I would rather have you help, you know, talk about the quality of this coffee and help sponsor, help this sponsor in supporting this show. Another way you can support this show is with our crowdfunding. If you go to GoFundMe and look for Reclaiming the Republic, or better yet, go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and you can have and find the link straight to the Red State Coffee, as well as you can find the link to the GoFundMe page. Now, either way, we need financial support, but more importantly, we absolutely need you. As you heard me yesterday, we really need you to get involved and start educating your county commissioners. This isn't rocket science, but if you need help, if you want some help or how to articulate these things, let me know. Send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. If you want to get involved and you just don't know how, then send me an email. Let us know where you are, what county. We don't need to know your home address, but just let us know what county and state so that if there are already people working in your county and state, then we'll connect you with them. I would highly recommend that you look at joining the Constitution Club, constitutionclub.ning.com. If you join, you'll be able to drill down into your state and drill into your county and see who else is a member there, who else is a like-minded constitutionalist. There's, I don't know how many thousands of members are there, but that is a great organization. They've got great education in there and everything else. And so by all means, why don't you get your Constitution Club on? Another thing I would highly recommend is you look at our first right. As we start moving forward, there's no reason why we can't put plenty of other tools or weapons in our tool belt. Our first right is the ratification of a Madison-era Bill of Rights amendment that will actually force representation back down to a reasonable number. It's 50,000, I believe, by this amendment. And if we pass it, it would displace the swamp. It would force the House of Representatives to send them home so that they can telecommute and work either out of your state capital, out of your county, the county seat where your government representatives sit and work. There is no reason why they can't be more available to you. They are your representatives. And how are they really your representatives if they're going to represent 3/4 or more? They believe in the next census, it'll be over 800,000 people that one representative represents. Are you kidding me? How are you being represented that way? You are just one little voice, and this plays more and more in hand with the concept of he who pays the piper calls the tune. And so with that, we're out of time for this segment, so we'll be right back, and we will get straight into Constitution Day and then the Madison's paper essay. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my 3 C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Well, okay. So what we're going to do, as I told you, what we want to do is actually get into Constitution Day, because we want to talk about where you can go and how you can find big celebrations. Lo and behold, I've done some cursory looks and so forth, and I know Daughters of the Revolution are typically involved in doing something for the Constitution Day. But it's always seems like, and I don't want to pick on them. I'm not picking on them at all. It's just that I never see those announcements out there in, you know, in, I don't say the mainstream media, but I can tell you the news media surely doesn't advertise what the heck's going on, and they don't talk about it. And so how is it that we're going to find out? Because I've done Google searches, and there's places that talk about it. But I'm here to tell you that there seems to be an apprehension on lots of people in trying to recognize the Constitution. So what are we going to do if we just allow the marginalization of our Constitution to continue? What are you going to do if you haven't done anything to try to help elevate constitutional awareness and try to improve people's understandings of the Constitution and so forth? Then what are you going to do? How can you actually create any relevance to what the heck is going on with the Constitution Week, Constitution Day, and so forth? I mean, I know the Constitution Party is probably doing something and there's something going on, but it is, these aren't big galas. I can tell you for the 4th of July, you can find out about all sorts of fireworks and parades and all sorts of things that different communities, polities, counties, and so forth, I mean, they get it. They love to have a big bang party. But why is it that we are just so apprehensive in recognizing the Constitution? Since when did the Constitution become political? Okay, so there's a party out there by the name of the Constitution Party, but that doesn't make the Constitution political. The Constitution is a contract. Is your Verizon contract, is your cell phone contract, is that political? Why not? It's a contract, right? So I want you to start thinking, and if you find something, I'm going to start digging some more, because what I did was I actually just looked at, did some Google searches in DuckDuckGo just for comparison purposes, and it just seems like there's not a lot of fruit out there unless you really drill into maybe a town and or a county or so forth. So I'm just asking for your help. If you can find something in your community, please let us know. We want to actually identify, and I believe in Kentucky and some of these other states that I haven't drilled into them yet. But it's sad that there's nothing at the national level. It's not like Trump is doing anything to recognize Constitution Day or Constitution Week. Okay, so what we need to do is we need to elevate the Constitution and constitutional awareness in our communities, period. If we're going to be successful in getting compliance to the Constitution, people have to understand what that is. People have to understand what the federal government has to be doing. If not, then they're just going to be continuing to usurp more and more powers from us. And what we are doing is we're surrendering. You're surrendering in ways you have no idea. And we're going to get into some of those ways when we hit the Madison's properties. But I haven't done this in probably 2-3 weeks. So I want to do this so that at least, you know, I'm not insensitive. Maybe, you know, insensitive to conservative organizations that are, you know, what we want to call politically correct over words and those types of things. But I will say this. I want to thank you for tuning in. That is one way of getting involved and getting other people to tune in. And I can tell you, there has been more competition, and it seems like we have gained a lot of space in TalkStream Live's rankings and so forth. But it does seem like we do get our level of competition. It seems most of the time we're somewhere between 6 and 10 in starting off with the show. And we usually end up at the end of the show somewhere between, I would say, 10 and 15. But, you know, we drift down to maybe 20, 19, 18, something like that during the show and so forth. And I know everybody has other things to do, but that's why if you actually call the call-in line, because we actually have no metrics on that until we actually hit critical mass where we don't have any more space on the line. I have no idea how many phone callers can call, but by all means, call and bring down our phone bank so that we can open up another line. We've had another line before, 605-562-4209. Now, moving forward, if you think the federal government is going to relinquish any of their tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers, then I don't think you really fathom and or even understand their paradigm. And so let's get into this line in property. It starts off with this, and this was written 29 March 1792 by James Madison. This term, in its particular application, means, quote, that dominion which one man claims and exercises over the external things of the world in exclusion of every other individual. Now, he's putting this into individual property. But that word dominion, what does that mean? Dominion is having control, having full control. Well, so who and what has control? Is it just an individual? No, we live in a world of entities. And as a matter of fact, American republicanism has different levels of control, not full control, but different levels of sovereignty, from the federal government down to your county commissioners, down to your city council, and down to your house, homeowners association. I mean, that's probably the smallest little group other than maybe a little neighborhood watch, right? But what I'm trying to get at is that as our federal government starts assuming more and more roles, responsibilities, and powers, they're at a point where they can almost mandate everything. They can already mandate how much water you consume, your plumbing, they mandate your electrical, they mandate appliances, they mandate even your cell phones, and they actually mandate hiding harmful data from you so that you can't sue companies. They're protecting companies from the natural liability the company should be facing. As you know, Facebook was in a position for a long time that they couldn't even be sued for their biases and discrimination. And they're trying to change some of these things, but I'm telling you that it's hard to break that grasp when somebody assumes dominion over anything. It's almost a guarantee that they are going to exercise unrighteous dominion. Almost a guarantee. They are going to start asserting. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I saw it in the Marine Corps when a junior PFC or something like that would get promoted out of the entire group, and he would be in charge all of a sudden. And next thing you know, his authority goes to his head or her head, and all of a sudden they're bossing everybody around, and they're standing around like they're in charge of everybody. And technically they may be, but that doesn't make them a leader. That doesn't mean that they're actually leading. And so, you know, it takes a long time to start understanding the difference between a leader and a manager. But I'm here to tell you that the federal government isn't leading. They are managing. They're managing to take more and more dominion from us and more sovereignty from us and liberties from us. And in doing that, they are managing that. But who are they managing this for? They're managing this for the globalists. If you've ever heard of Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, then you understand that there is an overall plan in taking away property rights and taking away your liberty so that we can move in the direction that the globalists want to control us, and it's all about control. But Madison goes on and says, in its larger and juster meaning regarding property, it embraces everything to which a man may attach a value and have a right, and which leaves to everyone else the like advantage. In the former sense, a man's land or merchandise or money is called his property. Now, I'm going to stop right there. what happens with cryptocurrency? How is that your property? How is it that if somebody could come along and literally EMP, completely erase everything from you, how can you prove that you had it? True property is something that you have actual, tangible control over. If you are dependent on online services to hold that, if you can't even hold a penny of your cryptocurrency, then as far as I'm concerned, it isn't property, and you are surrendering our monetary system of true property that you get to hold into the globalists so that they let you think you're holding it. And so I'm just trying to put these things into perspective. And so we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so what we have here, and I'm going to repeat this, in the former sense, a man's land or merchandise or money is called his property. In the latter sense, a man has a property in his opinions and the free communication of them. So if you understand the tangible cost of property, then you can start understanding that property does not necessarily have to have a tangible cost. It can be your ideas. As a matter of fact, the concept of republic review, because it has never been brought forward over the past 200 years, then republic review is intellectual property. As a matter of fact, I didn't even read Madison's, or I should say Jefferson's, notes on the state of Virginia until I got well involved in all of this and these concepts of states asserting their power and authority and rights over the Constitution. That Constitution is the state's property. You have to understand that that perception, in the latter sense, a man or a state has a property in his opinions and the free communication of them. He has a property of particular value in his religious opinions and in the profession and practice dictated by them. And I'm going to add, A state has property in their form of government that they create, such as the U.S. Constitution. He has a property very dear to him in the safety and liberty of his person. He has a property, or he has an equal property, in the free use of his faculties and free choice of the objects on which to employ them. In regards to the U.S. Constitution, the states have delegated very specific powers, and those things they have surrendered their property rights to. But all other things that have not been formally delegated, the states have absolute property rights over energy, agriculture, transportation or infrastructure other than post roads. If you start understanding this whole concept of property, the states have the property of all things not delegated. In a word, a man is said to have a right to his property. He may be equally said to have a property in his rights. And there's that line right there. Where an excess of power prevails, property of no sort is duly respected. No man is safe in his opinions. In his opinions, his person, his faculties, or his possessions. I'm going to read this again. Where an excess of power prevails, like with the federal government, property of no sort is duly respected. As a matter of fact, you go live in California and you tell me how property is respected. They're mandating vaccinations and forcing vaccinations. They're mandating data collection by doctors. They're mandating rights for illegals that you can't kick them off your land. In other words, your property is no longer your property when it comes to illegals. As a matter of fact, California has failed to recognize, support property rights, the fundamental property rights, and that's why this former Californian got the heck out of there because, and I recommend if you live in California, you don't have an exit plan, you better start planning. It isn't getting any better. And the only way they're going to learn is through the implosion because nobody there making money is there anymore. They've left, they've taken their money and their hard work, their property away, and they've moved to a different state. So where there is an excess of liberty, the effect is the same, though from an opposite cause. Now, that means that there's more and more and more property, and everybody has created levels of property. It's almost like, and I don't think we've ever lived in a day where there's the opposite cause, but I would think that when people start to go after property rights for little sayings like, let's roll, then that becomes a little excessive. But does it? I mean, the fact is that that person that was on, I forget, flight 82 or what, 83, whatever it was, and his wife, the surviving wife, wanted to actually trademark that term, let's roll. Well, why is it that the government didn't let her do that? What was the harm in her trademarking that? Was it just too commonly used? Let's roll. Or is it too commonly used for a monetary purpose? So I don't think we necessarily live in a very ultra-liberal world. I think we live in a draconian world where government wants to have the control over whether you can actually trademark the two words or not to keep people from making monetary compensation or obtaining riches from using a word that your husband or somebody else has coined. Anyway, and even though that the original intent of that, but if nobody's ever trademarked it before, then it's fair game, right? Right. Government is instituted to protect property of every sort, as well that which lies in the various rights of individuals, as that which the term particularly expresses. This being the end of government, that alone is a just government, which impartially secures to every man whatever is his own. Now, I'm here to tell you that when government allows you to say, you know, whatever it is you want to say, then you have a government that is protecting your property. But when you have a government, groups and organizations that say you can't use certain words, they want to attack you for using certain words, then we are living in a draconian society. Especially when you have state governments that have passed laws that say you have to use the proper pronouns towards genders and so forth. Or you have to stop using pronouns. And my point is that's draconian, and it is taking away your property and your right of expression, and it is a fundamental right. The First Amendment right is protecting that. Everybody has a right to be insulted, and everybody has a right to have their feelings hurt. But nobody has a right to take away the expressions of another, especially if it does not cause actual harm. And when I say actual harm, physical harm. Remember, we lived for a long time with the adage, sticks and stones can break our bones, but words can never hurt us. And all of a sudden, oh, words hurt. Words mean something. And we mollycoddle every aspect of our society. According to the standard of merit, this is Madison again, according to the standard of merit, the praise of affording a just securing to property should be sparingly bestowed on a government which, however scrupulously guarding the possessions of individuals, does not protect them from the enjoyment and communication of their opinions, in which they have an equal and in an estimation of some a more valuable property. I will tell you that if you're a person that believes in prayer, then you're going to find that your rights of prayer and being able to pray when you're being told that you can't, a cluster of kids in an end zone can't pray. Are you kidding me? More sparingly should this praise be allowed to a government where a man's religious rights are violated by penalties or fettered by tests or taxed by hierarchy. Conscience is the most sacred of all property. Other property depending in on positive law, the exercise of that being a natural and unalienable right to guard a man's house as his castle, to pay public and enforce private debts with the most exact faith, can give no title to invade a man's conscience, which is more sacred than his castle, or to withhold from it that debt of protection for which the public faith is pledged by the very nature and original conditions of the social pact. So Madison's actually clearly stating that even though you may have a castle and it should be protected by government, your conscience, your thoughts, your expressions are far more precious, and those need to be guarded from government as well. And I'm telling you, folks, if you put the litmus test out there and you start looking at what the heck's going on, there are conservative organizations that I told you about. The John Birch Society is going around stammering over people and stampeding over people when it comes to political correctness. So use the convention word. How dare you? You're a conventionite. It's ridiculous, and it's ridiculous to see conservative organizations or conservative people participating in political correctness. This is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where the property which a man has in his personal safety and personal liberty is violated by arbitrary seizures of one class of citizens for the service of the rest. A magistrate issuing his warrants. Well, we got one more break and one more segment. We will get through this, I promise you, because we've just got a few more paragraphs to go. This is very powerful stuff. And when you read this and start contemplating on where we are as a society, it becomes an indictment on how far we value property. So with that, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, friends, now I want you to pay attention because I need to reread this. That is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where the property which a man has in his personal safety and personal liberty is violated by arbitrary seizures of one class of citizens for the service of the rest. How is that played by, let's call it affirmative action? Let's call it equality, or if you want to call them the Title IX type of laws and civil rights laws, where it's going more and more out of the way of not just necessarily taking the encumbrance of society away, but creating encumbrance for some and not for others. In other words, actually giving one class of society a service and or rest and not giving that same thing to another. A magistrate issuing his warrants to press a gang would be in his proper functions in Turkey or Indostan under applications or appellations proverbial for the most complete despotism. That is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where arbitrary restrictions, exemptions, and monopolies deny to part of its citizens that free use of their faculties and free choice of their occupations, which not only constitute their property in the general sense of the word, but are the means of acquiring property, strictly so called. When we have labor laws that do not allow children under the age of 18 to work on a farm or to even have a job and to learn the importance of a good, strong work ethic, we're stealing their opportunities to develop themselves at a good age before they become indolent, lazy, and dependent upon either the state, mommy and daddy, or the society they live in for whatever fixes that they need. He goes on and says, What must be the spirit of legislation where a manufacturer of linen cloth is forbidden to bury his own child in a linen shroud in order to favor his neighbor who manufactures woolen cloth, where the manufacturer and weaver of woolen cloth are again forbidden the economical use of buttons of that material in favor of the manufacturer of buttons of other materials? If you don't understand how government is doing this to in every facet, again, from the toilets, from the lights, from the sodas, from whatever they choose to be doing, government is overstepping their bounds and giving favor to one over another. I'm here to tell you. It's the same thing with alcohol or ethanol going into your automobile regarding your fuel, your gas, right? They're adding the ethanol that they cook out of corn. In other words, they're dictating that certain crops be used for doing that instead of just allowing, and they're forcing this into your gasoline. You can't not buy it unless you find somebody that has the cojones to actually sell non-alcohol or non-ethanol type of gas. And then if they do, are they offering the high octane or even leaded and unleaded? When they started dictating all of these different standards, the federal government had no constitutional authority to do these things. If you want them to have this authority, then it's simple. You have to amend the Constitution. When they can just simply assume any role, responsibility, and power, then we are living under tyranny. As you understand, this is very, very important because, you know, it's one thing to have a civil society and have constraints, but it's another thing to have unbridled enthusiasm and unbridled wantonness and insatiable desires of power, because that's what we have with our federal government. A just security to property is not afforded by that government under which unequal taxes oppress one species of property and reward another species, where arbitrary taxes invade the domestic sanctuaries of the rich and excessive taxes grind the face of the poor, where the keenness and competitions of want are deemed an insufficient spur to labor, and taxes are again applied by an unfeeling policy as another spur in violation of that sacred property which heaven, in decreeing man to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow, kindly reserved to him in the small response that could be spared from the supply of his necessities. I want to just take a quick second here and actually let you understand this, that when you have a government that is actually taxing your car, the state governments are taxing your car, guess what? You've paid the full sales tax for that car. When you sell that car, you should not have to pay the government a sales tax on the sale of that car. You should be reimbursed for the sales tax that you paid on that car, and then let that person pay that sales tax. In other words, the government should reimburse you because, let's say, the value, you bought a car for $10,000 and then you sell that car for $5,000. The government should reimburse you on the $5,000 value of taxes that they took at the time, when, so whatever that rate was, and that person buying that car should have to then pay the $5,000 sales tax to make up that difference. It is tyranny. It is oppressive that every time an item is sold, they require an extra tax be placed on it. They only started doing this just recently, my friends, but this is exactly what Madison is talking about.
this particular paragraph talks about this rollover of sales tax and other types of taxes that they start putting on you, just like the sale of a home. Oh, well, we want, you know, it's almost like a thug coming along and saying, hey, we notice you're selling apples. We want a little bit of take on that for security purposes. And you go, well, I don't need any security. I'm pretty good. Then all of a sudden, you know, they leave. Somebody comes by and burns your store down. Oh, well, it looks like you needed some security. And then next thing you know, you realize that there's a thug in town. That thug is government. And that's because government is trying to do too many things outside of their roles, responsibilities, powers that they should be doing. If there be a government, then, which provides itself in maintaining the inviolatibility of property, which provides that none shall be taken directly, even for public use, without indemnification to the owner, and yet directly violates the property which individuals have in their own opinions, their religion, their person, and their faculties, nay more, which indirectly violates their property in their actual possessions, in the labor that acquires their daily substance, and in the hallowed remnant of time which ought to relieve their fatigues and soothe their cares, the influence or inference will have been anticipated that such a government is not a pattern for the United States. If the United States mean to obtain or deserve the full praise due to wise and just governments, they will equally respect the rights of property and the property in rights. They will rival the government that most sacredly guards the former, and by repelling its example in violating the latter, will make themselves a pattern to that and all other governments. I hope you get this. I hope you understand that there are property rights at stake here. You have rights that are being violated left and right by your state governments and by the federal governments. And as I have said before, even though we may have problems with our state governments, if our state governments fail, that will not, you know, capitulate the United States. But if the United States fails, every state within it fails with it. We cannot allow the federal government to fall first. We have to stop. We have to engage. We have to get those who have ownership over that property, over that compact, over the Constitution, which we should be celebrating in less than a month. We need to raise the awareness. We need to improve people's cognitive understanding of what needs to be done. It is critical, my friends. If we are to preserve our liberties, and if we are to preserve all of our property, both the tangible and the intangibles, then we have to start demanding compliance to our Constitution. Once we get the federal government in line, the states will quickly follow. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org.
www.takeaction.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.